So the idea of the panel is just got to know your developer a little bit closer. And as I written in an application short time before in the Osmocom CNI project, there are about 50 developers. So we are now 1/10 of the amount of developers. And I don't know if this 1/10 is representative. I don't think so, because you're more of the more active developers. This is the reason why you're here. But I think a part is representative, because parts are people from Sysmocom, parts are people outside from Sysmocom. And so I just would like to get some ideas. Today I also learned that a kind of the Hackers Insider deal is to find some strange devices on eBay, write, buy them all, write open source for it, and then resell it. Okay. This is one way to do, and devices are getting smaller. You save warehouse space for the future. And so my main question is, and I think we just make a round from one to one, is how did you the heck come to Osmocom? So is it about strange, obscure devices with strange, obscure programming languages? So mainly, what is your... How did you come there? What is your most favorite programming language? And if you would like also perhaps to introduce to you also, if you're doing this for, have you joined Osmocom in the beginning for your private life? Is it now part of your professional life also? How could you combine this? I know everybody in the hacking area is spending huge amounts of time to the dedication on this, and so we can't even distinguish between private and business life. But still, I think it's interesting, not only for me, I hope to know.
Yeah, for me personally, how I came to Osmocom, I think it started actually not with Osmocom directly, but with the Dedected talk. My name's Steve, and I've, probably you know me from RTL SDR, and yeah, recently Osmo FL2K, and I think Harold also had, on his slides, something about that.
I'm partly not sure if I may introduce people by names, because sometimes people are only announce themselves via their nicknames. Yeah. And so just open your name on your side if you like to do so.
Okay. Yeah. I watched the Dedected talk back in 2008, I think. And luckily, I already had one of those cards laying at home, because I was already buying obscure hardware on eBay before that. So, and so this card got me started with all those RF stuff. I was interested in that before already, like back in 2004. I built Wi-Fi antennas and so on, and and so I was already interested in that. And and then when Osmocom BB was announced, I also watched the OpenBSC talk beforehand. And, but yeah, this the price of a USRP and so on, or BS11 was out of my range, and I didn't have the space for it. But when Osmocom BB was released, I already had one of these phones lying at home already, and I already had built a serial cable for it to unlock it, and I tore it down 2 days beforehand before I knew of it, because I needed it for something else. So yeah, I could start right away, and then with all the other interesting stuff happening when Sylvain released his Osmo GMR, I started to look into that as well and experiment with it. And this then triggered to be more interested in SDR, and this led to RTL SDR in the end.
Okay. And about your favorite programming language, would you do something else, so Rust?
It sounds interesting, being memory safe and so on, but for most embedded stuff, I think C is still...
So you're fine with it?
Yeah.
Okay. So one common point I learned is, I think everybody is also rather connected also to doing hardware-related stuff, so it's not software only. You would like to have something in hands, I think. Sylvain, please.
Okay, so my name is Sylvain. I'm on IRC as a TNT. So I came to Osmocom. I think I wanted to play with GSM first, but that was, you know, way before OpenBSC. And then at some point on Slashdot, I read something about the USERP and the OpenBTS project, and, you know, this kind of magical device that allowed you to emulate any kind of radios. Unfortunately, at the time, there was absolutely no way I could afford like $1,000 worth of hardware. And then, you know, a year later or something, I saw on eBay one of those IP access Nano BTS for like $300, and I bought it with absolutely no idea how to use it yet. I just, you know, did a quick Google search and saw that there was one project that seemed to hint that it would be possible at some point, and so I bought it and, you know, started experimenting with Open BSC, and then I actually discovered the Congress. I had no idea that this event existed, and so I went to my first Congress at 26C3 and met Harald in the small radio room at the time. And yeah, that's pretty much how I joined, and I've been looking ever since into, you know, software-defined radios and mostly, you know, air interface stuff rather than core network stuff. And that's also, you know, or I went to write Osmo GMR, for instance, is because, you know, it was an interesting air interface. It was based on GSM, and so I could reuse a lot of the knowledge that I had acquired. And yeah, that's basically it. And as you said, I like things that have a mix of software and hardware because, you know, I like playing with physical things. When you build something, I think you have, at least I feel like I have achieved more than just when I've written like a piece of software. I don't know.
I mean, these containers all days, they are really getting materialized.
Yeah.
Are you able to combine your way of doing FOSS or even in joining Osmocom, your private life and your business life, or do you have to earn money otherwise, or how do you?
Yeah, actually, like recently I've been able to combine them more because I've been doing some, you know, consulting job that essentially came to me because people knew me from the work I've been doing in open source software. So yeah.
So there are possibilities to live.
Sure, definitely. Okay. I mean, so far I hope it will work out. We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah. So and I think definitely C as well as the favorite language.
I mean, I think there's a difference between you have to use C or you would like to use Erlang or Smalltalk in this area. Yeah. So, Paul, I think for the next three persons, okay, I don't have to ask for the distinguishing between private and business life because you're all Sysmocom employees. But still, I think did you start with Osmocom by becoming a Sysmocom employee, or did you start with Osmocom and then becoming a Sysmocom employee?
Well, let's say specifically with Osmocom, I started once I joined Sysmocom, but let's say the other way. So I joined Sysmocom because I wanted to actually work more on free software, let's say, or open source stuff, and because I wanted to continue with working with networks, let's say. So since always I liked, I don't know, to work on stuff that communicates people or machines, whatever. I was also one of the users in the community of OpenMoco a few years ago, and I really liked this way of community working, let's say, and I really feel comfortable with this kind of way of doing things. So I wanted to continue, let's say, my professional life also doing this kind of stuff. And,
yes, I also joined Osmocom basically as a Sysmocom engineer. I was actually looking for a more interesting job in hardware because I did study electronic engineering and was doing lots of software development. I've been a software developer employee even before I finished my high school in Germany. So then working as a software engineer alongside the studies all the time, I was looking for a more hardware-related job, but I had so far only been doing audio-related hardware and played around with that, and it turned out that I'm unfortunately too good in software apparently, so now I'm still a software engineer at Sysmocom, mainly for Osmocom, but I've almost always been employed in open source projects, and that is basically now a premise for me to be employed somewhere. It has to be open source and preferably a small company. And yeah, all my obscure hardware comes from Sysmocom at the moment. And
there's more in stock, yeah.
Yeah, the interesting parts were like cracking open the 3G stuff, get the Nano 3G going, and yeah, things like that.
As you said, you have been always involved in developing open source projects, so you can compare also, I think, communities, different communities with, let's say, not only different tools, but also different ways of communicating, and so.
Well, there's a common concept called the netiquette, or like the basic, you know, being inclusive on mailing lists and sharing all the information as much as possible. And basically, I was socialized in that realm in the Subversion developer community, but version control kind of got boring after a while, and well, I can't complain about that at Osmocom. There's so much to know. I'm still like, when newcomers come along at Osmocom, I'm like, I've been there for like, what, 3 years and more now, and still, you know, I get asked questions, and I'm like, oh yeah, well, that's a good question. I've never heard of that before, and so that still happens all the time. But in terms of community, there's, you know, it depends on the people, how they manage it, and in Osmocom, it's fairly well managed, and sort of alike the Subversion and Apache guys.
Okay, thank you. Philip, I, as I know you, you have also some strange gadgets in at your home. So what is your latest Osmocom or not Osmocom related gadget?
More about mini computers and stuff, slightly off topic, but Osmocom related. I think maybe the most remarkable and strange device that is Osmocom related I ever had was a BS11. I got mine very early in the 2008-09, I think, and when the Osmocom project started to take off with OpenBSC, that was we were really fascinated by this thing. It was a really good time we had with that, trying all these things out, exploring these new fields. So that was a really great time. And yeah, I think it was the BS11. And recently I gave it away for free to some other related members that want to try out things. It's a ham radio operator. And yeah, I hope my BS11 is doing well there.
Is it also a little bit the thrill, like transmitting on frequencies where you're not sure if anybody is listening, like with the modem stuff 20 years ago, or?
Is thrill listening or transmitting? Transmitting especially because I'm always afraid of the Bundesnetzagentur. But I think if you use very low power in a lab setup, that should be overheard.
Okay.
I think one of the first things you also added to the wiki was how to build your own terminator, wasn't that? Something like that?
Dummy load.
I was looking for a way
to make the BS11 as silent as possible, and found out the best way to do is just to take these old terminators from coaxial LAN cables. They are 50 ohms.
50 ohms.
And since you are not transmitting on that much frequency, you just plug them and your BS11 will not load. But will only transmit like in the room where you are.
So I would like another 5 minutes just for an open discussion. So talking about the community once again, is you said, Niels, that sometimes people are joining and they are asking questions, and the amount of knowledge is so immense that you're still wondering, oh, have never thought about this, or I don't know this, and somebody else is in there. So do you have the feeling, and also another stuff is like it's 2G mostly still, are there newcomers in the community, and
how they come in. So do we get fresh blood, or are we becoming in some years like the old golf club where we're sitting there with our wheelchairs?
Well, there is a turnover. Recently, I've become mentor for a new employee at Sysmocom, and also just I think yesterday even a mail showed up of some community refugee camp guys trying to set up their own resilient GSM networks that can call across the internet but still be there when the internet is down, and I hope they will talk to the Rizomatica guys as well. But just plugging, since the Bundesnetzagentur was mentioned, the German network managers, if any one of them is listening, I think it's really a bad choice to sell out all the GSM licenses in this country and not make any development spectrum available to us. I mean, at Sysmocom in the Osmo GSM tester, we use RF cabling and all that, but anything besides that is sort of, you know, it's illegal to distribute spectrum, let me just put it that way, and so we need to be really careful not to disrupt production networks hacking on Osmocom.
I couldn't resist related the comment of the regarding the age and so on. Actually, we are the youngest people who are becoming experts on 2G. I mean, if you talk to people, like people who have actually developed 2G stuff, they're all old and they have never touched it ever since, because for the big industry, it's over.
So it could be that the community even begets the starting point of some ongoing maintenance of 2G, in a way. Okay, I don't know. I think we should go for lunch right now.
Or not a single question.
Do you have any questions? So it's one of the rare chances to get information about developers working on this. Could ask the most intimate questions, I don't know. I was wondering, what is your most famous editor? What is your window manager on this? And these are my questions, but has somebody else questions?
I'm wondering how people manage time, especially maybe between open source and commercial, or well, not open source, but your own personal work that you do. I often see various developers posting to mailing lists at maybe 3 a.m. or not, maybe 3 a.m. and then the next day also at 11 a.m. And I kind of wonder, how does that happen?
I mean, many of us maintain very standard working hours at Sysmocom, but maybe I qualify for answering that. I also have a kid who comes home from school in the afternoon, and I really enjoy working later in the evening when everyone else is already, you know, is not bugging me anymore about stuff, and I can really, you know, tunnel and get things done. So I enjoy really flexible working hours, but like my private hacking and all that is to a degree eaten up by the Osmocom work, because it's also quite interesting to me privately. And also, to mention here is the Congress that we are gearing up for now. That's also interesting to me privately, getting a GSM network and even a 3G network to run at the CCC Congress in December. And so I'm even willing to contribute some private time past the Sysmocom-sponsored developments to, you know, maybe get 3G voice working with the phone operating center there and stuff like that.
Yeah, so just quickly, I'm wondering, maybe anybody else has comments about how do you manage it and not to stay productive? I always find that I'm incredibly impressed by how productive Osmocom people are, and sometimes I work on things and then I just get exhausted and I need to take a break, and it seems like you guys don't, you just keep going.
That happens a lot. I mean, that's why I work flexibly. I take breaks when I need to take a break, and when I get interested and get the time, it's just, you know, I can't stop until I've reached some point, sort of. I don't know how that works, but I go to sleep late.
I think you might not notice the breaks because you see like the contribution from, you know, Osmocom in general and project advancing, but individual people take breaks, you know, from time to time, you know, obviously, right? But yeah, since not everybody stops at the same time, I guess you see the progress. But yeah, I know that, you know, there are lots of periods where I don't do anything, but lots of other people do, and then for 1 week I will work, you know, a lot, and then the next week I'll just watch Netflix for a week and do nothing productive, right? It's just.
And it's always impressive to have ad jobs committed.
Hello. So this is a question regarding the governance of projects under the Osmocom community. Because I'm getting like the idea that some of the projects of the Osmocom actually comes from people working from Sysmocom. And I'm wondering whether, how do you deal, okay, with third-party individuals doing contributions to projects, to source-based code, okay, or of projects that you are doing for under the Osmocom, whether is there some kind of policy for accepting contributions? Is just a small group of people that just talk on mailing lists and such forth? Or, and how do you do, and how do you deal, okay, with contributions for people that aren't working from Sysmocom?
So my experience so far is basically if you want to contribute to one of the existing projects, just submit patches to Gerrit or mailing list. And I mean, it's a regular open source community, I would say, in that sense. And then it's true that, let's say, if we talk more about like maintenance or maintainer, I would say most of the projects I know about, they are the maintainer. Let's say it's from somebody from Sysmocom, probably Harold. But it's true that there's also other projects that actually are maintained by other people, and as far as I know, they have the last voice on any topic, let's say. So I don't know if you want. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in general, you just send patches. I've never seen any, you know, kind of commercial interest get in the way of having patched merged or anything like that. Even, you know, projects that are maintained by Sysmocom will happily merge patch. The only requirement is that we tend to have in general, for a project, have a high level of, you know, the patch has to be correctly formatted, follow the guidelines. If there is major architectural changes, they have to be discussed on the mailing list to make sure it fits within the you know, the future we see for the project and that kind of stuff. And sometimes, you know, people submit a patch which is just okay. That's like a quick hack that, you know, it made it work for me, but, you know, it breaks all the other stuff or doesn't integrate properly, that kind of stuff. That's obviously going to be, you know, rejected. But and sometimes it's hard for first-time contributors because if it's your first patch, you might actually spend, you know, as much time to clean up the patch for inclusion as you initially took to write the first version of the patch. And some people just, you know, don't go to that effort, of course.
I would just like to plug here that even though currently Sysmocom appears to be a very large player in the Osmocom community, that's not the desire we have. It's not good for any community to have a single point of failure. So just to make sure everyone understands it, we are hugely welcoming any contribution and would really like to diversify the support of the community. And there are several already, and we by no means want to take a prime position in the community. It just de facto, it turns out this way at the moment. So keep the contributions coming and please join and yeah, come.
And maybe to add, there is no formal government structure. There's Rust consensus and running code, and that's how we handle it, and it has served us well so far. We didn't need any formal structures or processes or whatever. If we should ever need them, for sure, that needs to be discussed. But so far, everything, I think at least, has been running rather smooth the way how it has been. Let's see, always in motion the future is.